here. So every time, here we go.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the American Allegiance Show. Today we have a special guest, Lissandra Burks, and she is from Ohio, Cleveland area. She happens to be my cousin, and she's an author. She's written like 14 or 15 books. We'll talk to her about that later. Anyway, welcome to the show. Remember, the phone number for calling in for the radio program is 347-637-3942, Patriot Nation Radio, Blog Talk. And welcome to the Lori Sodders program and network, Next Gen USA, the Next Gen USA. You catch my show on there after that and other places that I place them. But for now, let's get our guest on board, Miss Lissandra Burke. Let's see. So right now, before I do that, make sure everything's set up here. I am missing my producer tonight, but I am working the boards on my own, which is no problem at all. So there we go. This is why. Okay. So now, here we go. Every time I put this on, so nobody can hear me now yet, but they will, and they repeat it. So here we go. And we are now live with everything ready to go. So we're going, we got two thumbs up. All right, here we go. Welcome to our show. We're going to bring on Ms. Lissandra Burks. Welcome to the show, Ms. Burks. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Enjoying every minute. You know, it's a nice hobby to have, right?
Very cool.
So you are an author. And this is, I want to tell you this before we get started. You know, let me take this out here. I actually put on my Facebook page, author Kevin White, because you did that. That's the reason I did it.
Really?
One of the main reasons. I said, hey, that's so cool. And I see other people do it too. So that's you that I thought, well, and people ask me, why'd you do that? I said, because I went through a lot to get this book out. People don't realize the work you do to make something happen like that. And you've done it.
That's interesting
times.
Because I waited till I finished my third book to put author on there.
Really? But it's okay. I mean, it's one thing I like about it's an achievement. And I'm only on book one. I'm starting book two. And what book are you up to? How many? First of all, tell me, how did you start in this genre? How did you end up doing this?
Well, I started genealogy when I was 15. And, you know, I would do genealogy books, but it was different. I wanted to write a book. So mm-hmm. I was going through a divorce and I started writing poetry and I said, well, this would be a good book to help me heal and to help other people heal as well. So I started doing the first book, which is The Journey Within Me, a poetry book. And then after that, I was like, I couldn't stop writing.
Really? So you went from that to poetry. Interesting. So what's different? I know you write stories. Tell me the genres you write.
A variety. I do poetry. I have action adventure. I have fiction, of course. I have historical fiction. I have an herbal book. I have an autobiography. Basically, oh my goodness. Oh, and I did a sci-fi book.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but I did a short story. It's an ebook called The Car Accident, and it turned out to be a sci-fi.
Very interesting. I need to look for that. I need to look that up because that sounds so. That's like, to me, it's like challenge accepted, and you did it. That's awesome, right? But you have that. That's something that's built into you that you can do that. So you have a very good talent that most people don't have. So what's the longest book you wrote? Would that be the science fiction one?
No, that's actually the shortest.
Okay.
I'm not a writer that write big books. I think the largest book I have is Jesse, which is the historical fiction. Doing genealogy, I love history. So this is historical fiction with a lot of historical facts, but it'll take you from the 1800s auctioning block in Virginia past mm-hmm. our time. So wow. Jesse would be the largest.
Okay. So you're talking about 1850s. You know, the other day I was, no, it was yesterday, I was listening to slaves, former slaves, talk about their lives as slaves. It's very interesting. It's not pretty, but it is our history. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to hear what they have to say. You know, they lived to the point where we could actually record them so they could be recorded. So that's that sparked in my head there for a second. So I got off
I'll
track
tell
a
you,
bit.
We have a rich history too, right here in Ohio. Our family from Harrison County, our family was the first group of emancipated slaves as a group.
Really?
Imagine that. And wow. I mean, we're in the historical books.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, and this historical fiction book idea called Jesse, I actually take the reader through McIntyre, where our family was.
Mm-hmm. McIntyre.
McIntyre, Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
McIntyre, Ohio. See, for our family, we were owned by Quakers. You know, a lot of people think yeah. Quakers didn't own slaves. They did. And okay. our owner, our family's owner, he refused to free his slaves when all other Quakers did. They had to have somebody work the land. But he freed them upon his death in his will. But yeah. that was in 1828. They couldn't have been free. So he had another Quaker bring them to Ohio from Virginia, from Charles City, Virginia to Ohio. And they set up tracts of land and houses and stuff. And that's how our family got there. But they
I
were
did
the
not
first
know.
People emancipated slaves as a
wow.
group.
Wow. That's very, very interesting.
It is cool. I mean, we got some good history.
Yeah.
Got some good history. But this is Jesse. Mm-hmm. You can see it.
That's oh, we can Jesse. See that. Yeah. I mean, they can get that on Amazon, correct?
Yes. Most okay. of my books are on Amazon.
And Amazon, you know, it's a love-hate relationship, as you know. Amazon takes the lion's share, but, you know, they get it published and they get it out there. And the struggle putting, I don't know how you struggle putting books. It's got to be the right perfect size. I've worked so hard on like, it's just the border's not right. I do it over and over. I'll get it next week kind of thing. You know, it's a lot. It's a struggle getting something together.
Kind of got it down packed now. I'm pretty good at
good.
It.
Good, good, good.
But what a lot of people don't understand, the book world, it's just like any other business. It's like the entertainment world. It's like the sports world. You can get taken for a ride if you're not careful.
Right, right. Exactly. I try not to take people for a ride personally, but yeah, I started my company because there's so many bad deals out there and people want to own you with the book. So
yep.
I like to be fair because I know how it is on the other side. So tell us about your childhood. You grew up in Cleveland, is that correct?
I grew up in Cleveland. We moved a lot, put it that way.
Okay.
I grew up in Cleveland. You know, went to Cleveland Public Schools. One of my favorite places was the libraries. Even though I was, as a teenager, I was in the streets doing dirty stuff in the streets, being
really?
Bad girls. But I was also in the library, reading all the books. And what I joke about, you know, I was spent all day in the library until it closed. And
really?
The variety of books I write, I was 10, 11, 12 years old reading Jackie Collins. I was reading everything you could about craft stuff, how to make something and sell it, budgeting. And I also read a lot of Donald Goins. So, wow. I mean, and I think that kind of shaped a lot of my writing because I write from all different angles.
So all that reading, you know, influenced you and it shaped you for that. So I'm sure you found it fascinating. Then one day you wrote your own books. I sound like my mom that I did that, didn't I? I look like my mom. Hi, Mom. So, you know my mom role. So, yeah, I see that. You have such a variety. I can tell. It's like you have, you go from like the science fiction to history to your natural health book, Natural Healing, which is, I'm all about that. So it was so good. We bought one. We bought two more for other people. They're very interested in it. So that's awesome. And what you had in there, everything we saw was like, wow, that's right. The principles are perfect. And that's what it's all about in that.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get into that? That is over 30 years.
How did you get into that? Did you have a situation or?
I don't think, I just liking the natural stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not big on prescription medication, even though for some people they really need it. And yes, they have made advancements and it's beneficial, but my body is so sensitive. Any medication I take, you know, the side effects was horrendous. So I did develop diabetes. You know, my father had diabetes as well. So I have diabetes and I tried every medication that was available and the side effects was terrible. I had one side effect where I gained 30 pounds in a month. I couldn't even fit my shoes. And I'm thinking, well, it gotta be a better way. So I'm a researcher. I research history. I research medication. I research herbs, everything. So I went and started doing my own research with herbs because I was 21 having a garden, you know, yeah. I'm 21 year olds not having a garden, but that was my prized possession. I was in the back, you know, having my garden and all. So I really got deep into herbal medicine. And I was the person at work. I worked in education and mental health for 30 years and okay, actually retired January 2022.
Congratulations.
So I retired early. Yay. But I started doing herbal medicine. And even at work, if someone had got a cold, if they didn't know to come to me, somebody was sending them to me. Go see Ms. Burke. She'll tell you what to do. And then awesome. It got to the point where there was a herbal store down the street from my job. And all the staff would go in there and they say, well, one of my coworkers sent me in, you know. And they said, yeah, we know the little short lady. So I had got a reputation of being the person to come to if you felt sick, if you had your throat wasn't right, if you sniffles or whatever. And I wrote the herbal book because I wrote that in 2018. So many people were getting sick. I'm like, you don't have to be this sick. You know, there's no reason for us to walk around as sick as we are. You know, there's things that can help us. Prevention. You know, preventive medicine is like the best thing. Why wait till you get sick and then you're taking medication that's going to give you more side effects? So I'll tell you a little story too.
Sure.
So for over 30 years, I've been doing herbal medicine. And basically, I'm my own guinea pig. I don't tell nobody nothing that I haven't tried. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was mentioned astragalus root. Now I've been mm-hmm. saying for probably about 12 years, everybody needs to take astragalus root. It helps the immune system. Mm-hmm. You know, we got so many things that's against us, but the astragalus root helps build up your immune system. So I mentioned it on social media and someone that knew me, but didn't know that part of me, because there's different aspects of all of us.
Right.
They didn't know that part of me. And they mentioned something about, you should try it before you tell somebody to try it. It tastes terrible. And I said, I've been using it for 30 years. I done tried all forms. I done tried the bark. I done tried the capsules. I done tried the tea. If you would have talked to me about it, I would have told you a long time ago to get the capsules. But they didn't know that part of me. So I don't tell anybody anything about herbal medicine that I have not tried myself. Or that I don't know that if I know it works. I know what I tell someone, I know it works.
I'm writing that down right now.
Astragalus root is in your book.
I know. I just want to remind myself. So that I ran into that kind of thing. Mine was out of necessity because I was given the medicine I took really messed me up. Mm-hmm. So I had to figure it out on my own a little bit. I don't know as much as you, but I do know how not to get colds or flus. I do know how to, I never got COVID. And I know how to keep my blood pressure down without mm-hmm. medication. The medication gave me a full-blown IBS. So I said, I'm getting out of this. This is the worst thing ever. So you learn as you go. And I don't try to diagnose people, but some people will come up to me and say, hey, I got this. Some things are like principles of alkalinity that are very important. Or this is happening because you took this. It's like, did you have this? Do you have that? And it's, I'm not trying to be a medical person or anything. I'm just saying this makes sense to me. So your book makes complete sense. Yes, makes complete sense.
Right. If you know, you know. I, for years, that's why I said I did the herbal book. I did the herbal book in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I had to go back and re-edit it. That's important when you're an author. Make right. sure you have yes. a good editor or you edit it carefully. Mm-hmm. I had to go back and re-edit it, but I did that book in 2 weeks. And I wow. did that book as a request. I okay. had people asking me. I mean, for 12 years at work, I was helping everybody. I go into an herbal store and I hear people talking and I have to chime in. You know, mm-hmm. I met a woman, I don't know how many years ago it was. I was in an herbal store and she was talking about parasites. Well, that's one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah.
And she actually had video of parasites that she had expelled. And she was showing the people, and they were like, I ain't never seen nothing like that. And when I talked to her, I told her, I said, those are parasites. I said, you need a parasite cleanse. And she said she'd been to the doctors, and they kept telling her she just ate some bad food. I said, no, that's not bad food. I said, that is parasites. I mean, they were live parasites.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of people don't like to talk about it. You know, I don't want to hear about parasites. They're in your body. Everybody has them. We're yeah. hosts. You know, but there's a way to not have so many. Our body is made to accommodate some parasites. When you get too many, that's when you get sick. But there's right. There's a way to get rid of them. You ain't gonna get rid of all of them, but you can get rid of enough where you're not sick.
And you can find that out by ordering Mrs. Lysandra Burke's books.
So. The thing is, the Herbal First Aid is not on Amazon. They would have to go to my website, which mm-hmm. is lysandraburks.weebly.com, and just order, and I'll mail it out to them.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for sending those to us. We appreciate it. It worked out for us. We referenced that book still. So
thank
we have something
you.
Happen.
Thank you to our gifts that I haven't given yet. Hmm? And to our gifts.
Yes, yes.
Don't say actually, yet.
Yes, right. Yeah, we're good. So, yeah, thanks a lot. And the other people will appreciate that too. So, I mean, the word that got out, because this is very important, especially in these days, that you have this ability, or you have this ability to help people with a book. It's actually the most useful book you can get probably today. So thank you very much.
And it's a small book, but it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have to be as sick as we are.
I agree. So 2 weeks. She wrote that in 2 weeks. That's incredible. The whole book.
In 2 weeks. But it's because of stuff I knew.
Yeah, right,
I didn't have to really, I mean, some of the big words I had to research and whatever to learn how to spell them correctly. But no, I mean, the herbal medicine, I've been doing it for over 30 years.
So I have a connection with the Health Ohio organization. I wrote an article for them once. You should be writing for them on the side if you wanted to. That would be cool. Anyway, so continue on. What made you, let's talk about your historical books, what they're about and who they're about and how they're related.
Oh boy, that's so exciting for me. I love family mm-hmm. and most of the people in our family know who I am mm-hmm. one way or another, because I've been doing a genealogy for a long time. And it's interesting because we have older cousins that's from our parents' generation who do genealogy, and I connect with them like a very, very tight bond. So the books that I've done genealogy books, but that's personal family stuff. But I do have Musical Magpies. Back in 1917, our second great uncle, this is you and I's second great uncle, mm-hmm. Thomas Elwood Davis and John Copeland. They created this musical group called the Musical Magpies. They rocked the United States. They were very, very famous. They made a vinyl record. They were about to make another record. They did vaudeville music. And then when the world changed to jazz, they did jazz. They traveled all over Ohio, all over the United States, 40 years. For 40 years, they rocked.
Wow, that's a long, very long career.
One of the things I did, now this is, for those that don't know, Thomas Elwood Davis is my great-grandmother's brother. And he's author Kevin White's great-grandmother's brother as well. That's our connection.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Smithfield, which is around McIntyre.
Oh, no way. No way. Okay.
Yeah, he was born in Smithfield.
He was born in Smithfield. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's where Carolyn is from. Yeah.
And then, you know, the family moved to Caddis. So he was born in Smithfield. They moved to Caddis.
That's an upgrade, by the way.
Huh?
That's an upgrade.
Yeah, there's not much down in Smithfield now.
No, there isn't.
But I was doing genealogy for years, and I lost track of him. And come to find out, he had been living in Cleveland. He moved to Cleveland, was living on Woodland Avenue. For those people that's listening that know Cleveland area, he lived on Woodland Avenue in a mixed area back then. And this group, the Musical Magpies, they are, you can hear their song on YouTube.
I'm going to be doing that.
It don't sound like much to our ears now, but they were
great. I can appreciate that. So I'm wondering if Jake Elwood from the Blues Brothers is using his name. Who knows?
I don't know.
It would make sense, though. I mean, I'll be looking that up later on. So,
well, this book is on Amazon as well. And to get to the story of the Musical Magpies, I started at the beginning. So I talk about our great, great grandmother. Talk about the families, all of the families were so connected, so tight. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful story. And Caddis, Ohio got some greats. That's another book I got too.
Oh, really? Yeah, the most famous person in Caddis is from Caddis.
The most famous person? I know they would say Clark Gable.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Thomas Elwood Davis.
Thomas Elwood, yeah. Most of us know Clark Gable, or well, maybe not anymore because we're getting older. So,
Clark Gable was a Hollywood star, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that small Black community that came from Charles City, Virginia, that small Black community, they did a lot of firsts. They were the first to have, oh my goodness, what is the name of the record player? The first record player, I can't think of the name.
Motorola? Was it Motorola?
No. I mean, way back. The one with the big old side thing. And
is that RCA?
They were the first group of Black people to actually listen to that in Ohio.
Really?
A preacher came from Canada and brought it. And they headed at the church, St. James AME Church.
St. James, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Whoa.
They did so much stuff back in the 1800s. I mean, they charged 10 cents and they headed at the church and they listened to that music. They had a young Black men debate club in Caddis.
Really?
They had their own brass band in Caddis. Wait, hold on. Are you ready for this?
Okay, yeah.
They had their own hook and ladder fire. They wasn't considered a fire department, but way back in history, a lot of the Black families' houses were getting burnt up, and the fire department was moving slow. Yeah. So our ancestors created the colored hook and ladder.
Wow.
John Hinton, you know who that is, don't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh, John Hinton. The Doolings, which is our great, 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 great grandfather. James Dooling was our great, great grandfather. Him and his father, Henry, started they all worked at the Color Hook and Ladder Company. It was a wagon. They had a wagon. Wow. They put out fires.
That is incredible. No way.
Yes, they had uniforms. It's so cool. Rich, rich history. Oh, my goodness.
So they did, you know, back then they did things right, step by step. You know, everybody cut, you know, shortcuts now. And yeah, not everything comes with it. No, I mean, that's incredible.
And I think they developed it because, like I said, they was letting the houses burn. I ain't gonna say letting the houses burn. That's probably not correct. They were not moving fast enough.
Right.
The fire department wouldn't move fast enough. So the Black leaders, the Black men in the community started the Color Hook and Ladder Company. They had to go to court. They got in some trouble, you know, because they wanted them to pay this, pay that, you know, to get your uniforms, you do this.
Yeah. Right.
And in the newspaper, I've read many, many old newspapers for my research. They wanted to make sure they wasn't affiliated. They wanted to make sure everybody knew they are not affiliated with the Caddis Fire Department.
Boy.
Back then.
Wow.
But one of the West, and you know, yes, you know the names of the families.
Oh yeah.
But one of the West, their house got burnt down. Really, got burnt to the ground.
Oh boy.
That's when they went into action.
Wow.
We got some rich history, and I love it. I'm so excited about the history. It's like we got some awesome folks in our family.
Sure do.
Got and a lot of our too.
One of our family is a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Who's touring? Is going to be in Dayton this day after tomorrow for 2 days.
Yeah, we can shout him out, Jason Banks.
Jason Banks, I want you
Jason
on my
Banks,
show.
Banks, comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, their house was right next to my grandmother, Grandma White's house. So I know the people there, and it was like, he's a comedian. He's a national. He's got like a huge
family. We got a lot of family. They're doing great. We got a lot of authors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of authors in our family.
Yeah, and Leland is out in California. He's an actor. He was in, what's the last movie he was in? I can't remember. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the last one.
Producer? Leland's last movie, the big one?
No, I just remember he was on Fear Factor.
Oh, he was on Fear Factor. We watched that. He was on The Price is Right. He was on...
Oh, yeah, Price is Right.
But it was a big movie. It was a huge movie. It was a Black movie.
But he did... oh my goodness. NWA?
It was something straight out of Compton. That's what it was.
He was in Straight
Out of Compton. I would write him and say, man, you never cease to amaze me. Because he's done it. I mean, he's from Caddis. He's done it.
We got historical greats from Caddis, and the descendants are great too. We got some rich history. Rich history.
Absolutely.
But I did do a book called Greats from Caddis, Ohio. Black Greats from Caddis, Ohio.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
That's on Amazon as well.
Awesome. I have to check that out. Yeah, that's pretty nice. The thing about Caddis I love is, I mean, it was my only real hometown. It wasn't really my hometown, but I go back there because traveling as a military kid, that's the one place that I went and it was kind of like home to me. And then, you know, hardworking people, you know, working up there and, you know, people in the coal mines and people doing, you know, whatever they had to do. And hills. You don't have that in Cleveland. Like, you do have some elevations there, the heights and all that stuff.
It's interesting because if you mention Caddis, now I'll tell you this. I've worked in education and mental health for over 30 years before I retired. And we had a music teacher that was working in the same building with me. And I was getting ready for the reunion. She said, who's going to Caddis? And they said, oh, Miss Whitney back then, Miss Whitney. And it was like, what? And then she said her father was from Caddis. I said, well, we're cousins. Because the thing about Caddis,
yes,
every Black person in Caddis is related to you. And half the white people is related to you too.
Yeah.
So
right.
If somebody say Caddis, you know your cousins.
Right. But I like Caddis. I probably wouldn't want to live there.
I wouldn't want to live there. But I mean, I like to go visit. And it's a breakaway from the city.
Yes, it is. Caddis. I actually thought, at one time I thought, well, we'll take, you know, Grandma's old house and we'll make it something But we're not going to do that. But it could. You could make it something. Make it an Airbnb or something. Have somebody
Airbnb is hot right now.
Yeah.
I actually stayed in a when I went down there and took my mom to visit her siblings a couple years ago. I stayed in an Airbnb. It wasn't private enough for me. It was like a house with and everybody. Now yeah. I can't stay with a whole bunch of folks. But it was nice.
So but interesting.
Airbnb would be great.
So Cadiz, Ohio is full of oil now. Things have changed quite a bit. There are people who became wealthy not that long, so many years ago, and they're living on these big giant oil reserves. And the houses are, from what I understand, one of my cousins told me, it's like they got mansions over there. They got, go down the road where you know, West Ohio or West Street. So you go down around the corner and it's just nothing but wealthy people.
The last time I was down there, my uncle, I won't shout out his name. He might not want me to, but he took me up the hill from the place that I went all my life, my grandparents' land. He took me up the hill and I was like, oh my God, I never knew they had all this. It's like a whole new rich community. It's beautiful.
Oh, really?
It's beautiful. Oh my goodness. It is really, really, I was surprised. I mean, it wasn't there years ago. Trust and believe when we was growing up, but it's beautiful. I mean, it is
right.
A whole new community.
So how is downtown? I mean, I know they have the IGA and different things. I'm sure it's better now. Yeah. And the other grocery store. Yeah. I used to go there all the time. Oh. Anyway, up the hill. Everything's up the hill. My parents, hey, if we lived in Columbus, they're like, hey, why don't you go up the hill? It's like, there is no hill. There's no hill in Columbus.
And that's the thing. Our family, we have family everywhere. Our family spread it all through Ohio.
Yeah.
So there's family everywhere. Not too much in Cadiz anymore, though. A lot of people left Cadiz. Right. I mean, it's a small little town, but, you know.
Right, I like right. So what are your plans? Do you have any other books coming out?
Yes, I have lots of plans. So for 11 years or so, I had been writing and working full time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I did it. You know, I had a crazy schedule. I would come home from work, eat, take a nap, and then I would work from 7:30 to 12 on books. Now I have time to do my books. And it's like I got to get focused. I have about 5 books in my head that I need to type out. This
That's
was a huge
part.
Book for me. Getting out the way, my poppy. This is my action adventure.
Wow.
Oh boy, there's a lot of twists and turns on this one. But I'm writing a sequel. I've been writing a sequel for 3 years. I'm going to get it done before August.
Yeah.
So Moving Targets is the sequel to Kidnapped and Waiting on Poppy. And it's a fast-paced action-adventure book about a woman named Beautiful and her husband that she calls Poppy, and the world calls him the Sir. It's pretty deep. He works for the government, but don't nobody know what he do. Anyway. So I have that going on. So I got about 5 books to write. And because I love history, I have a book that's set in the 1920s. I started it years ago and I'm going to finish that as well. But I do have events coming up as well too. Like this Friday, I'm going to be at P's Boutique, which is at 5405 Pearl Road in Parma, Ohio. Beautiful boutique. The owner is a young woman doing her thing. She's a good business owner. Her boutique is beautiful. I'll be there from 2 to 7 this Friday, May 5th, at 5405 Pearl Road. And then August 12th, big book event in Grove City, the Mid-Ohio Indie Author Expo. I'll be there. I go there every year. I love it. And if you're a book lover, that's the place to be. I mean, there's all kind of authors there. You'll meet your favorite Ohio author. It's beautiful. And then in September, a similar event on September 24th, the North Coast Indie Author event that's going to be in Avon, Ohio. This will be the second year they're having that one. So those are two of the big author events in Ohio. And of course, I'll have smaller events intertwined, but I'll probably post them on my website.
So I wrote those down.
Okay.
Because that this is, we want to do this too. So great, great.
I love doing events. I love talking to readers. I think that's one of my strengths. So I really love doing events.
So let me ask you this question. This is I love asking this question because what's it like to be an author?
Whew. I'm gonna be nice and say it in a nice way, because you know sometimes I be thinking some things and it might come out different. What is it like to be an author? It's like riding on a magic carpet, doing your thing, feeling the breeze flow through your hair. Each time you finish a book, it's like giving birth. Sometimes when I get to the end of the book, I don't want to finish it. Right. But it's like, no, I gotta release this baby. Let this baby give birth to this baby. And it just feels good. It's like a high. It's a rush. I love it. And I'm not I'm not an English major.
Yeah, right.
Speak proper grammar, but I can write a good book.
Autographs. I'm terrible at it. How really? Do you do it? Yes. The first like 10 books I did was like a disaster, but I didn't know, my signature is awful, but tell me about, what do you think of autographs? People ask for your autograph. They want an autograph sometime or whatever. Or...
You know, it's funny because sometimes you don't see yourself as a big thing. And I'll say this, when I first started writing, I had people laughing at me. I mean, cracking their side.
Yeah.
Like, you're writing a book? What? And I'm like, yeah, I'm
really?
Writing a book. And I didn't, it hurt. But I'll say this to anybody that's trying to do whatever you're doing, writing books, a business, don't let the naysayers discourage you. Because ain't nobody laughing now.
No.
I got 18 books out there. Ain't nobody laughing.
Exactly.
And I'm doing pretty well. So I had people laugh at me, and it was discouraging. Because, I mean, people that know you all your life thinking, she ain't writing no book, you know.
Yeah, people are trying to bring you down. They're bringing you down, you know what I mean?
Exactly, and you have to resist that. Some people don't mean to hurt you. You know, they might mean well. And even now, with my success, and I know I'm a good writer, I still have people that say things that's kind of discouraging, but I let it roll right on off. Because one of the things that you have to do is you got to believe in yourself. I know I can write some good books. My books are good. And I'm, like I said, I'm not a grammar major or anything, but I had people laugh at me, which was discouraging, but you just move forward. And I went to Georgia. My father used to live in Georgia. He's passed, it's been 5 years, I believe, five years. But I used to go down to Georgia every year to see my dad. And 1 year, I've always took books too, because you know I'm still hustling. Yeah. You know, you got when you're an indie author, you hustle. So I would take my books with me. Yes. I would meet people and tell them who I am. I went to Walmart down there and I was getting some pictures done off my camera, getting some pictures developed. And people just start talking to you, and I talk to anybody, you know. And when I said I'm an author, they start pulling out their receipts. And they wanted me to sign their receipts. And I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But it felt good. I don't mind signing. You want my autograph? Come and get it. I don't mind.
That's magic too, you know?
It's flattering. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
And then you start to realize that, I mean, I've done events all over Ohio. I've done events in PA. Other places too. I mean, I've been to DC and so forth. But what I did an event in Dayton, and one of the ladies saw my book cover and she said, I know that book cover. That feels good.
Yeah, and, right.
One year I sent my cards with my books on it all over the United States. So every state and every state had some from me. I touched every state. And I went to DC and I went to visit this shop in DC, and the lady said, I know you. I know. And I'm like, you do? And she said, yes, I know. And she ran behind the counter and had my card.
No way.
I was like, yes, because I knew I mailed it to her. I just wanted to see what she was going to say.
It's a great idea.
It was so cool.
That is cool.
So I mean, I have a circle of friends. Like, I have one that's a fashion designer. And, you know, we're humble people. We're just trying to live and do what we like to do. When people start noticing you, even the lady at the boutique, not too long ago, she said a gentleman stopped her and said, hey, ain't you Miss P at the boutique? She said, yeah, because I follow you. Totally out of her area. She had no idea who this guy was. But you become a local, I don't want to say celebrity, but people start to recognize who you are, and it feels good. So, because bookwork ain't easy work.
No. So you put yourself out there with, you know, showing up and then, say, this is me, and I'm going to this, I'm going to that. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing to do. And you do become a local celebrity of sorts. Like me, I launched my book in South Carolina because I got free flights, right? So, so we had to take a bunch of books with us. And that logistics was not good because our books, we didn't get there, but the books did. So we had to go to the airport early the next morning and pick them up and take them out there. But I met a lot of people. People know who I am. A lot of people know who I am. But I got with people that were already connected to the mainstream. So that helped a lot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see your books on the internet, right? You see, I don't know if you've done that or not, where you see it's in other countries. People are showing it around. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Wow. This is incredible. And then, yeah, exactly. People are like, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I go to this event. They're like, hey, Kevin's here. I don't know who these people are.
It's okay. It's okay. It feels good. I mean, that way,
yes.
you know you're doing your passion. Your passion is being
right.
Noticed. And like I said, bookwork is not easy work. And, you know, I got people that's upset with me for not getting this book out fast enough, moving targets. Yeah. But it takes time to build up all the characters and the different scenes. And I see my my books like movies in my head.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I get scenes from here and there all over the place. It's wonderful.
Imagination. So, yes. Imagination is like the key. I have not written an imagination book yet. You know, something like that, a story. Mine was bio, but my next one will have imagination in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually wrote other manuscripts I have not done yet. I've not finished years ago.
Yeah. I have several books I've started. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the one set in the 1920s. I actually have a flapper dress because I'm going to do the cover myself.
Oh, yeah?
So I bought the flapper dress and all the head.
Oh, things, man, you go all the way.
I just haven't finished the book or did the cover.
Yeah.
I have several books in my head.
Uh-huh.
And I keep saying I need to type them out before they slip out my head.
So that's a good point there, because how do you actually get it into a book? And publishing is all those steps take a lot to get done. The hardest part is writing it and getting in the right format and everything. But how do you make yourself write, especially when you're working? I know you can do it. It's easier now, but how'd you do that? How did you force yourself?
Music.
Uh-huh.
Music. I mean, everybody has their own thing that helps them. If I get a scene, like when I did Jesse, mm-hmm. I was in the kitchen and I was trying to think of the character, the slave owner's husband's name. And I heard Alabaster Carrington. I'm like, what?
Really?
Alabaster? I would have never thought of that. And I heard it again. And I dried my hands, ran to the computer and typed it up.
Wow.
Music helps me write. Being around water helps me write. So a lot of times as a stress relief, you know, I worked in a stressful atmosphere for many mm-hmm. years, but I would take my laptop and I would go to the park. And there's usually a spot I sit where the stream runs behind me, and I would just type. But I would have my music in my ears too. You know, maybe mm-hmm. Jill Scott was one of my artists I listened to on a regular basis. Raheem Devine. So I have my favorites, but it depends on what I'm writing. Now, if I'm writing something that's a little racy and got it, I listen to something kind of hard.
that's so Fascinating because what I did one day, I was like, I got to get this book done. So I'm going to do 10,000 words or something. I can't remember what it was.
Wow.
But I put salsa music on that I couldn't understand the words. Okay. And I could just type and type. I just kept going and kept going. Mm-hmm. That was the key. I was like, wait a minute. I got to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So the music does make a huge difference.
You don't have to know the words. It's the vibration of the music that gets you.
Yeah, right.
Like, a lot of times on social media, my folks will know when I'm writing because I put on there, okay, Raheem, baby, let's knock this out. You know, book work to do. Help me write, you know. So I have my music in my ears and I'll be gone.
So do you think the music somehow stimulates your brain?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The vibrations?
Oh, yeah. Remember, I'm the person that got all these different themes
right.
So I have to have something like I can't work in silence. I need background noise.
Yeah, right.
So I got a lot going on, you know. But yes, music can set the mood. You know, if I'm writing a fight scene, I need some hard music.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, the fact that you make yourself, you gotta really want it. So, and that's what you do. You've done it many times, 18 times, and you have more. I mean, that's prolific. And most people don't write that much. I have friends who are bestsellers.
I need to write more. I have so much I need to get done. But I always say it'll get done when it's supposed to get done.
Yeah. I have friends who are bestsellers, and they're probably millionaires. So I'm thinking, just one book, right? Just one book. But you never know. Yeah. You really never know.
And a lot of people, you know, and I'll say this for anybody that's an author now or planning on, you know, writing books or whatever. I get calls every single day.
Yeah.
But people trying to get Kidnapped and Waiting on Poppy and Jesse.
Uh-huh.
Every single day.
Wow.
Sometimes several times a day.
That's awesome.
Like I said, it's awesome, but you also got to be careful because they're trying to get your book. Basically, they want your book. They ain't trying to pay me for it. They want to give me some crumbs. But it's just like any other, it's like the music business. It's like the sports business. You got to be careful. And sometimes they'll get belligerent. I mean, I've had people that try to put me down. Oh, you're just content with just doing that? You call me. I didn't call you. You call me. Don't call me and try to insult me. You know, and of course, I mean, everybody would love to make money or whatever, but I want to get my work out there.
That's more important than anything. Yeah, really. And it opens a lot of doors. You say that's your title and it changes everything for the people. It's pretty awesome.
And like the herbal book. I mean, I'm not trying to get rich off the herbal book. I want to help people.
Right. Yeah.
And it is helping people.
I totally agree. Totally agree. It's knowledge you have. Not everybody knows about this stuff. So about natural healing. Yeah. So y'all need to go get this book. So yeah, I have to put the website on the promo or something. So we'll have to make that happen. So, but let's see, we're at 48 minutes. I don't know if you have to go or not. You can stay if you like. So I stood up for an hour and a half, so we're good.
Okay.
So yeah, you're going to be out and about the next few months, taking advantage of the nice weather. Right.
Yes.
We also have a farmer's market where we're probably going to get a booth there once just to get exposure in the local community. And
now, I used to do a lot of outdoor events.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing events forever, traveling all over the place. But I told myself no more outdoor events.
Yeah.
And that's just personally for me, because if it rains, I'm in trouble.
Yes.
Because that paper.
Right.
And I'm a little older now. I can't take the heat. So I try to do indoor events. And also, I mean, if you set up a tent, you'll be okay. But I'm 5 feet tall. I'm not trying to supplement.
Yeah.
So you're not moving to Florida, huh? I mean, I'm being selective in my events. I had a whole tour schedule before COVID.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, me too. But yeah.
COVID kind of messed things up. And
sure did.
People are slowly coming out and doing things, and hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, as usual. I saw the events go by from whatever circumstances. I couldn't get to them or do them. But there's a lot. There's one in Brooklyn, too. I'm afraid to go to New York, though, these days.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, there's some in other states I want to go to, but for a long time, I did this book business by myself. Mm-hmm. I do have a partner now.
Good.
Thank God. So hopefully I can do more even. I'm thinking, okay, I go to Detroit and do the event. I go to the bathroom. I come back. My stuff might be gone.
Yes.
You know, I don't know nobody here. But I will tell you this. Some of the local events that I go to, and I've been going to for years, like I'll send a shout out to Alicia Wiggins. When I do her event in Grove City, I'm there with family. They are like family. They watch my stuff. They'll go get me food. They're wonderful. Her family. They do this event every year, and it's excellent. It is an excellent event. So when you get to know people, then some places I know I'm gonna see somebody else I know there. You know, and I'll be like, okay,
that's awesome. Yeah.
But I love doing events. I love talking to the people, you know, and this is the thing. A lot of people that are new authors, Amazon is wonderful as far as, you know, other people, but they probably got like 100,000 books on there too.
Yeah.
People want to meet the author. Yeah. Just like we were talking about the autographs.
Yes.
They want to meet you. They want to know your story. Where did you come from? Why are you doing this? So I love meeting people, and I love talking about my
books. Yeah, you're right. I've had people buy my books from the, I don't sell from my website anymore. You know, shipping is now, but I just put the Amazon link on it for now, and then I'm going to add that later. Mm-hmm. But people want my autograph, people that I know. So I have to send the book to them. Mm-hmm. I have to, they send it to me and I sign it and send it back.
Oh, wow.
Okay. People that I know, people that I worked with for years or whatever, but it's that important. It is. It really is. It's autographed.
Think back when I was saying people laughed at me. Now people want my autograph.
So. Yes.
You know, and not just with authors. I mean, I've had friends that are very, very successful entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But when they first started, no one knew their vision. And it's the thing. Right. That vision is for you. So if someone is criticizing you in the beginning, it's because it's not their vision. You keep moving forward because eventually you're going to get it to where you want it.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to encourage everyone, what's your passion? You know, all of us got something that we love to do. What's your passion? I mean, once I started writing, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
I love it.
So mine was... I don't want to talk about myself, but mine was because I had a problem, had issues. I had to get it out. That was the number one reason I wrote the book, because it was so frustrating. Military life kind of messes you up. Huh?
But it's going to help other people as well.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that, and people have requested it for people they know. But yeah, you have to be passionate about it. The next book I'm passionate about. So I just need to get off my behind and do it. That's what I gotta do.
Well, it's like for me, going somewhere, it's the hardest thing for me is get out the door.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just have to make yourself do it. But I'll tell you this, my first book, okay, this is what my first book looked like. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is The Journey Within Me. This is the poetry book. Recently, I upgraded it. Okay. And I edited a little better and so forth. But that was my first book. This book, which I was totally amazed by, this was me trying to heal. And when I start, when I was doing the poem, I'm like, this might help somebody else. I had people that bought my book that, and these are people that I knew, they told me I cried all night.
Really?
I'm like, what? Girl, I could not put the book down. One person told me they sat at their window at night, started reading the book, and the sun came up. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
One person told me they started reading it from the back to the front because they didn't want to finish it.
So that's the sign.
I've had people tell me, that book is so good. I'm like, wow, I wrote it to heal for myself, but I knew it was going to help other people. When I took it to get printed, because I took it to a printing company here in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
One of the ladies, when I went to pick up my book, she said, my coworker owe you some money. I said, huh? She said, she sat back there and read the whole book.
Wow.
This is a good book. This is a good book. So that helped me, you know, like I said, writing for myself, but it helped a lot of people, you know, and it's a
verification
book.
Too. Yeah. That's people agree.
It's pretty deep. I was going through some dark moments. Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you about.
Yeah.
In that book, I was researching like how sales, the time frame for sales to heal in our body.
Yeah.
And I wanted to find about milestones. Milestones, not like, you know, the milestone of tying your shoe or riding a bike or something like that, or your first kiss, none of that kind of stuff. These are life milestones. Each person has the potential to have 12 in a lifetime. They happen every 7 years, give or take a year. Okay. So think about when you was 14, give or take a year. Something happened in your life, whether it was good or bad, it shaped who you are.
Yes.
21, give or take a year. And every 7 years from there.
Right.
I thought about that concept. The book talk goes over the first six milestones of my life. I wrote that book when I was in my early 40s. And, you know, some people think, you know, you're going through a midlife crisis. No, baby, you're waking up.
Yes.
You're waking up. But yes. Because you're making radical change, that's neat.
Right.
I was going through a divorce. You know, I don't regret my decision. It's what I needed to do. But it helped me write this book.
Yes.
And there's some real, real low parts. And then there's some growth. And then it's like, voila. You know, there's life after dealing with some other stuff.
Right.
And it's beautiful on the other side.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you. I retired early.
I retired in 2015. It was a medical retirement. And okay. I was out for a year and a half, but I couldn't stand it. I could not do something, you know what I mean? So I started working at Enterprise Rental Car.
I had people tell me I was going to get bored. You're going to get bored. You're so young. But I already knew what I was going to do.
I got something to do the whole time
I was working, you know.
You got your thing already. You ready to start your career.
I have been writing books for 11 years and not getting no sleep and then working a stressful job. So now I can just write the books and do it.
Yes, and that's just
I still have a plan that I haven't done yet, which is to get me a mobile bookstore and gift shop.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want to get me a truck. I want to have a mobile bookstore and gift shop, and I want to travel United States and Canada.
Awesome.
That's what I want to do. And I know enough authors where I can put their books in the truck too.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. So you're in a really good community and metropolitan area too, which is great. Cleveland is like the parent of Ohio kind of thing.
I'm going to tell you, what city is good for authors? Columbus.
Yeah. Oh, is
Columbus, it? Columbus is good for authors.
Okay. Yeah, Columbus isn't the same because, you know, Karen and Andrew used to say, they used to call it Slowlumbus because it's slower than Cleveland.
But they're good to authors.
Yeah, good. That's good to know.
But yeah, I love what I do. I love it.
That's what it's all about. I mean, that's awesome. And I went through, you know, you see behind me, these are books that we've done, so that we've published and everything. I'm giving more to that than my own next book. But that's the way I enjoy what I do. I know you do. It's so fulfilling, you know, the accomplishment.
It takes time. It takes time. I mean,
You
know, like I said, moving target should have been done.
Yeah.
But it's going to get done when it's supposed to.
Yes.
People wanted me to have Jesse done sooner than I did, but I needed to, the timing had to be right because I need to wait till the election to get over and all that kind of stuff because it's all incorporated in the story.
Yes, I remember when Jesse came out. I do. Yeah.
Yeah, and people, they were, because I had been talking about, see, I'll get an idea and I'll talk about it, but that don't mean I'm working on it.
Right.
I'm working on it up here.
Yes.
But
so tell me about your, how do you, what, do you have, what's your marketing strategy for your books?
Well, you got to have some money to be marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, with COVID put a slow up on everything. But yeah. I'm my own everything. I'm my own PR person. Mm-hmm. I own everything. So what I did, I got all these postcards made up. And every month, I was mailing out postcards. But now, postcard stamps are almost 50 cents.
Wow.
So that's kind of expensive now.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do, and I would encourage other authors to do this, we all working together to try to get our business together. I meet local business owners. This is something I've been doing for years. It'll be a mom and pop restaurant. I'll go in there and start talking to the owner. Dear friend of mine that's on Facebook right now, she owned a restaurant down the street from me. And I went in there and I was listening to, it was around Christmas time. So I was listening and she was saying how, she was talking to another customer and how during the holiday time, the mom and pop places, you know, the business are slow because they go to all the commercial brand restaurants and stuff when they're shopping. So I asked to speak to the owner. When she came to talk to me, she was worried about the food. I'm like, no, the food is excellent. I said, I'm a local author and I was just wondering, what's your slowest day? I mean, I know things are hard. If I can do an event here for free, I'll bring you customers. She went and got her calendar and we set the date right then and there.
Oh, wow.
And I had a book event at that place. We became friends after that.
Wow. So
the boutique that would be on Friday. Young lady, she's the owner. She opened up down the street from me. I went in there and see, maybe that's another gift that God gave. I got the gift of gab. I can talk. I went into the boutique, met her, started talking about what I do. Now it's like we work as a good partnership. So she's going to have this grand reopening because she moved her shop down the street to another location. Yeah. And I'm going to be there with my books because she's allowing me.
That's an excellent idea. Excellent. I mean,
it's helping each other, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, that would apply to like coffee shops as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've done events at this beautiful, it's a beautiful, beautiful like bar restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They let me do events there for free. I bring in customers. I did events at another local bar restaurant, and they had specials. They had a drink named after me for that day.
Really?
Which was really cool. And I took our cousin with me, Francis Freeman.
Uh-huh.
Francis is another author in our family. So me and Francis did an event there. We also did an event in Kansas. And I'm looking to do another event. I had, before COVID, I had an event set up at Peggy's Diner in Caddis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an event set up in Steubenville. So I don't stay in one spot. I talk to people all over. And my father's not here anymore, but I still got family and loved ones in Georgia. When I go back down there, I'm going to set up some events down there too. So I try to, like I said, I'm waiting for COVID to make sure everything is okay. Things pick back up. But if you have a business, work with another business owner and y'all rise together.
I agree. Totally agree.
I mean, that's something I've been doing as far as for years. Just go meet owners and talk to them. You know, I bring them customers and they let me do the event for free. You can spend a lot of money doing events. So it's good if you can go in and talk to somebody.
We found out the hard way. Yes.
I did a few events where I paid a lot of money and the return was not good. You know.
Or you got to buy a table kind of thing. Yeah.
The table stuff, there's a certain limit I won't go over. because if I can't make my money back.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
There's no need of me doing it.
Yeah. You know? Oh, exactly. Yeah. So if you can partner with somebody else, and it's interesting, and you can be in there, you can sign the autographs and everything, and you're there. You're the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge deal. Have you been in libraries yet? Have you looked into that?
Yes. Yes. Okay, actually, I had, there's a lot of libraries that have author events, and I'm waiting because our Cuyahoga County libraries, they have a really nice author events too. But I'm waiting until I get this next book done, because Kidnapped okay. Away from Poppy, they love that one. They don't love this next book.
They're waiting. Okay.
They're waiting. That's on awesome. I've been slow getting it done, but moving targets is good.
I can't wait to read it.
It's good.
I'm gonna buy some of your books. I'm gonna get them, and we're gonna read them. It's you know, not just because you're family, because you've accomplished a lot. So.
And you're ex-military, right?
Yes.
Kidnapped and Waiting on Poppy. You'll love it.
Okay. Yes.
You'll love it.
I'll check that
That's
out.
That's the one I suggest for the men, because it has a lot of my books have a strong female lead, but this one, they're both strong.
Okay.
And it's action adventure. It is. Whew.
You know, I love action adventure. Those are, I used to do the books on tape for years. I exhausted the library until they got new stuff in. Because I like reading with sound.
Mm-hmm.
Versus and reading actually.
Lots of time too. I mean, I have books on my bookshelf from local authors. I just haven't had a chance to read them yet.
Yes. So I have others. You too. You too. Me too. I'm like, I got to get your book. You know, I'll interview them, or I know them that are authors, and I want to get their book to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always look at it. I look at the book and everything and how it's structured, and it's fascinating. You know, it's a whole nother form of art. It's all beautiful. It's all that's inside of you.
Helping other people. Huh? Helping other people that's starting out with whatever venture they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in competition with anybody.
Right.
That's what, like, I mean, I've had someone that got really upset with me. We know each other, and we're both authors. But she got really upset with me, and she said, if I knew you was going to release your book, I wouldn't release my book the same time. Why?
What?
You know, I'm not in competition with anybody. And this is my philosophy. There's enough readers. There's enough money.
Yes.
There's enough fans for all of us. I'm not in competition with anybody.
And you can only read a book for so long that it's already read. So
right.
Next one.
And then you can read the next person's book. But I'll tell you, I've had people read my books over and over, which I think is so cool. I think it's cool,
That is cool.
I'm reading it again. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's really cool. I mean, like I said, you'll have naysayers, but just brush them off and keep on going.
So one day, just a little short story. One day I went to work, had this coffee cup. I grabbed a mug and it was, asked me about my book on it. So at work, and I was like, I took it because it was available. People were, hey, you got a book? Then I opened it. I was like, it turned into something else. So people look at me differently now. Yeah, I'm a published author now. So, but.
You know, do your thing. I've had people. Like I said, I've had people like look at me and say, You wrote a book? I'm like, I wrote a book.
Yeah.
I can't write a book. I wrote several, you know. Like I said, I'm not an English major or anything, but
I'm really proud of you because you've done so much. I mean
I try. I mean I can't stop. I love it.
Yeah. It's a passion. I like that.
It's passion. It's passion. And I have a budget book.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, in my job for those 30 years, I taught budgeting to families.
Oh.
You know, then I learned how to budget really good because I grew up poor. I don't want to stay poor.
Right.
So I learned how to budget. And so I wrote a budgeting book. I know I got a lot of tips, a lot of hacks that I do. Just a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, right.
Just a lot of, and sometimes you don't realize how much knowledge you got unless you start talking to somebody.
That's you just don't know, because I was an aircraft mechanic for 30 years. And next thing you know, I'm an author. People are like, how did you do that? Because it's passion, right? It's passion. It's what you want to do. You got to get it out.
I mean, I always knew I wanted to write a book. And, you know, when I was doing the genealogy all those years and doing the research, I knew I wanted to write a book, but, you know, now I can't stop. I wrote several and I want to continue to write them.
So that's like, totally out of your lane of genealogy. That's a whole, what you write now, it's so diverse. Yeah. That's the thing about your books. They're so diverse.
I tell people I got something for everybody.
Yes.
The only thing I don't have yet, but it's up here, is a children's book. I have several ideas in my head. Like I want to do a children's book that introduces multicultural, but also help them with academics. I want to do a workbook for parents and then a workbook for children. You know, I'm a mother of one son and I got four grandchildren and a great grand.
Really?
Yeah. So I've used my ideas on my grandchildren and they work. So I know I can put them in the book.
There you go. You can also, down the road, you can make those into coloring books as well. I'm thinking about doing that myself. We've got some books to do that.
Yeah, and children's books are cool. I've made so many books for an event I just did, but I'm glad I didn't do them.
Children's books are a lot easier. But you got to have the graphics right. So you got to have everything right.
And I'll admit, I mean, I'm a crafter too. I can draw.
Okay.
I can't draw people. I can draw greenery, vegetables. I can draw trees and greenery. I can't draw people.
I can't either. It's just impossible for us. The whites are no good at drawing. You know, our families are good at drawing people.
As well.
Jana can.
Yeah. Mark,
Jana. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got a lot of talent there.
We really do. This was beautiful. I mean, I truly enjoyed myself. This is really nice.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed having you on. You know, I know I love having authors on because I understand what they go through and the other side, the ugly side, there's ugly side to it. I had a lot of people too, like, what are you doing? You'll never get that done. You know, what are you working on kind of thing? That's not what pushed me. I needed to get it out. And when I was working out of town, when I finished it pretty much, I think I finished it here, but I didn't listen to them. I just kept going. So,
and that's what you do. Don't tell me what I can't do.
Right. If you tell me I can't do it, then I'll do it.
You want to challenge me? Don't tell me what I can't do. I've proved many people wrong.
That is so awesome. So tell people how they can reach you.
Well, I do have a few websites, but I'll say L. Burks Books at Weebly.com and then LasandraBurks.Weebly.com. Those are my websites. I'm also on Amazon. You can go to books and type in Lasandra Burks. My name is spelt just the way it sounds. LASONDRABURKS. So go to Amazon Books and type in Lasandra Burks. And I also have an author's page on Amazon. So you'll see my books and you'll also see the other person I'm helping with her books, Sunny Blades. That's for a whole nother audience.
Okay.
Sunny Blades writes other stuff, but she's a good author too.
Love it.
And I have five planners up.
And I just want to show you. Yeah, I want to see those.
This is just one of the covers. It's five different covers. The inside is the same on the planners. And you can start these planners anytime you want. There's no particular year. There's no particular month, but it has national holidays in here. You know, sometimes those other kind of days like Lemonade Day, you know. Or Dream Day, August 28th or something like that. Then you have your calendar. In the beginning, there's also a place for you to do your vision board. Now, I'm big on vision boards. I've been doing them for years. And to me, they work. You cut out your pictures or whatever. You make your vision board of what you want. You date it. And every day you look at it, and when things manifest, you write the date that they manifest. I'll tell you something that's kind of like, okay, with the genealogy, Skip Gates, who does the, you know, exploring your roots or something like that. Skip Gates has been doing genealogy for years. One of my things was I wanted to meet Skip Gates.
Really?
And I put it on my vision board.
Yes.
I want to meet Skip Gates. Now, I know he's in Carolinas and all over the place, but I want to meet Skip Gates because we have something in common.
Okay.
Came home from work one day and I checked my email and there was Skip Gates was at the temple on 101st.
No.
Where old my sign in Cleveland used to be. And I'm like, what? Skip Gates is coming here? It was free. I said, wait a minute. But you had to reserve a ticket.
Yeah.
I reserved that ticket. The next, I think it was like 2 days later or something. No, actually, I think it was the next day. I didn't have time to come home from work to do anything. I went straight from work to the temple. And I was sitting up in the balcony because, of course, you know, I was running. I got the ticket late. And I didn't get to meet Skip Gates, but I was in the energy of Skip Gates. I dated that on my vision board.
Wow.
I didn't shake his hand. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I was in his energy.
Yes.
I met Skip Gates.
Yes, you were there.
So, I mean, it does come true. I mean, I did a book tour, created my own little book tour. I did that. That came out the field. I would put my books on there and I would date them when they manifested.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kind of, I mean, it's really cool. So with that in mind, like I said, in the beginning of the book, there's a spot for people to do their vision board. Me and a lady at the boutique, we have made plans for the future to do vision board events there. How cool is that?
That is cool.
And then also the book has it has a budgeting section too. So they can start anytime they want. There's five different cover options. This one is my favorite because these are my colors, of course.
Yes. So that is cool. So one last question. Do you garden any? You mentioned it early.
Do I garden?
Yes.
Not yet. I'm in an apartment.
Okay.
And my goal is to have my house with my garden. Because before I moved here, I had a beautiful split level house. I had massive garden in the back. I had herb garden. It was gorgeous. I've been away from that for a while. So my goal is to get my house, get my garden. I talk about it all the time. Have my space for my truck and continue my book work during my retirement.
You got to have a truck when you're an author, right?
I need a truck to travel with them books.
Yes, exactly.
I need to go for the people.
That's a necessity. Yeah.
We
have an SUV we use for the travel stuff. Yes, we have to. It's got a hatchback, so I mean, you can't get around it.
Well, it's funny because years ago I had a Honda Fit, orange Honda Fit, and that was my business partner. I would load her down. And so I need a bigger car. So now, you know, I got a bigger car, but I need my truck so I can
put
stuff inside and I can park it. People can come up in the truck, view the materials or whatever.
What color was it?
What?
Your Fit.
Orange.
Ours was too. Carolyn had one. The same. Yeah, we had that. Yeah. Yes. And it finally died. It stopped working.
Oh, I had an orange.
We got the SUV because, you know, it was like, it's perfect because we can load all kinds of stuff in it. And so you got your books, you got your setup, your table, you got all kinds of things. This is what you're thrown to as an author. You got to have everything together. Then sometimes you got to ship it to different places, your books. And
I have a production company in my apartment.
Oh, yeah. I bet you do.
It's
so cool.
Place.
it's a cool. It's still cool though. I mean, it's a cool kind of things you have to do, right?
Yeah.
I got to do this, but Lord, I can't believe I'm doing this kind of thing, right? So.
I love it. I mean, I planned everything out. I mean, I have my machinery and all that, but like when office stores would go out of business, I'm trying to think of a new big one that their hair used to have out. I would go every week and wait for the machine that I want the price to drop.
Gosh.
And when it was two left, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm patient. I know how to budget.
That's so awesome. I got everything
I need. I mean, I just need my house with my backyard for my garden and my space for my truck, and I need my truck. Mm-hmm. Then I'm ready to go.
That's interesting. I'm curious to see what kind of machines you're getting. Is it something to do with the book manufacturing? Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
Perfect buying machine.
Mm-hmm.
I have that cutting board. I have everything. I make my books in my apartment.
Wow. Now that's next level thinking there. Yes.
The herbal book that you have, made here.
Oh my goodness.
I made it here. Wow. Now I can make the covers better now. Like I said, I got a little more know-how. I can make the covers better, but from start to finish, I did it here.
That is incredible. I did not know that. I got to check that out again. That's up there. That's very smart.
Right here, I paid good money for this.
Yeah.
Look at that. Saddle stitch.
Yeah.
Saddle stitch.
Wow.
This right here, saddle stitch.
Yeah.
I made it myself.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. It's about graphics and putting it together and the pages and wow. Okay. All right, I got you.
The work. I mean, it's work.
I see what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Get your okay. One last thing. I'll let you go. The ISBN scam.
Okay.
ISBNs are a scam.
It is. Well, you know what? For me, I like having my own.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Amazon will give you one.
Yeah. Right.
Makes me your publisher.
Yeah.
I mean, if. So what I did, I bought 10.
Yes.
Long time ago, I bought 10. And when I got a hold to a nice hunk of change, I bought 100.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to stop writing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So the sham is one is like $200. And then 10 of them is what, 100 or 200? I don't know what the prices are. But
no, okay,
you
so
have to have one for each version is what kills me.
One is $125.
Yeah.
If you buy 10, I think it's like $20-something each. But you got to pay almost $300, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I have to write that off. So the
I
thing
went
is,
on and I got mine.
Yeah.
And I have enough where I can write whatever I want.
Yeah.
You know, because with each format,
yes,
you really need
to be
enough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, and Amazon they'll give you one.
Yeah, I don't think there's.
But
unless it's a journal, that doesn't matter. I don't care about that. But they're not going to have my property, right? So you know, understand that.
The car accident.
Yeah.
Now it's a short story. It's very short. It's a short story. I did it as an ebook. I didn't do it as print.
Mm-hmm.
And I let Amazon give me the ISBN number for that because it's okay.
Right.
It's an ebook.
Right.
If I need to do it, add to it, make it bigger or whatever, and do it in print, I got ISBN numbers to do that. I talk to a lot of people about book writing. They want to know, you know, what you need to do, how you do it.
Yeah.
And then when you start telling them, they're like, "Oh, it's too much. Yeah, it's a lot of work."
Yeah,
if you ain't passionate about it, don't try to do it yourself.
It's part of the routine, you know. It's part of what you do.
If you don't want to put the work in, hire somebody.
So what?
I suggest everybody get their own ISBN.
Yes, I totally agree. But I have a hard cover, and then I have a soft cover, and then I have the ebook. They want ISBNs, separate ones. It's like it's the biggest scam in the world.
For each one.
It's only one person you can get it from. So,
anyway. Right. You can only get it from one place. And it, I mean,
it's a monopoly.
Buying one, that's a lot of money. $125? That's only if you're never going to write again.
And then you got to have it printed for a price, too. It's like, come on, leave me alone. Well, anyway, that's all I want to know. I wanted to ask you that because I know you've done a lot of those. So, that's awesome.
I have enough where I can keep on writing.
Yes.
And I know I'm not going to stop writing. I mean, like I said, I got plenty of books in my head that's waiting to be typed out. I type really slow. That's one of my problems.
Okay.
People say, oh, get the thing you're speaking to. I got that.
I have that, but it's not the same. And it doesn't, no. It's not very accurate either. It's not as accurate as it should be.
Because I used it on one of my books, and I had to keep going back and fixing everything because
yes.
I don't speak very clearly. You know, I might miss some letters. They twist the letters all up. So I said,
yeah, exactly.
I'd rather just take my time, put my
it's
music
on. It's a jumbled mess. So we have 4 minutes left. I appreciate you for coming on the show. And
thank you so much.
I'd like to have you back again, your next sure. book or whatever.
Anytime.
And we could just talk history, Ohio history or something. But I want to get.
We need to get together so we can see each other too.
Yes, we do. I might see you in August. We might like it. Or
that would be so
might cool. go to the Grove City thing. I'm going to look that up. We might end up going there.
Even just come and check it out.
Yes. Awesome. Right. Yeah, that's no problem. But thanks a lot. And if you have anything last thing to say, are you good? Or you can say whatever you want.
Thank you. And I hope I encourage some people that's doing whatever business they're doing to stay the course. Don't let nobody discourage them.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for coming on the show. I'll see you in person soon.
Right.
We need to do that. We have to have these reunions. This is very important.
That is so cool.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'm Mrs. Sandra Burks, everyone. Check out her books, Amazon and everything. And we'll catch you later. Thank you. Okay, so now, let's see. That was awesome. She's got 18 books out there. That's incredible. She's writing more. She's not even stopping. She doesn't care. She's like, she's on a rampage. So, which is awesome. Looking for something here. So yeah, you go all the way to the bottom. There we go. Let's put this music back on. We can listen to it. Thank you for coming on. The radio show ends in about 5 minutes. We're going to end it now. Oh, well, it looks like we had a caller there. Oops. Missed the call. It's okay, though. We'll be good. Maybe next time. Sometimes they're dangerous. I'm going to bring you back on. You're still here. Sometimes they're dangerous having callers because you don't know what you're going to get if you don't have a screener.
Yeah.
It's just like one time I got stories, but I got a call. It's some woman in Utah called, and she just took some kind of diuretic. She was exploding on the toilet on the phone. Yes. I was like, what's going on here? What's going on? I couldn't figure it out. She said, I took this. I can't remember what it was. Some
she
kind
called
of.
She called you while she was doing it.
Yes. But she didn't know what was coming. It's coming out. It's coming out. That's and I crazy. Felt bad for her. I didn't realize what it was. I didn't hear it too clearly. But I mean, that's just the way it is, right? You never know. It's live. So sometimes you get belligerent people because if you don't screen them, usually you have a screener with you and they'll go through and they'll talk to them first. But
well, on the show, when they can watch it, can they put things at the bottom or something like leave
yes.
notes or leave comments? Okay.
Yes. So
this was really cool. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
You need to do this
great
yourself.
Folks.
You know, thank you. You can do this yourself and get your book out there, exposure, if you like to. So I'm going to end the broadcast now. You're still on. We're still on right now. But music out. So radio show is end episode. We're done with that. Thank you, Patriot Nation. And that's gone. And now we go back here. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Wave goodbye, Lissandra. All right. Everybody have a good evening.